Good afternoon. We're back on the record. This is the Senate Finance Committee, Juneau, Alaska, State Capitol, Room 532. It is 3:25 p.m. on Saturday, April 9th, 2016. We have three bills that will be before the committee this afternoon. SB 196, Power Cost Equalization Fund, SB 101, State Park Fees, and SB 210, Community Revenue Sharing. The first bill before us is SB 101. If I can invite Aaron Schein to the table. Ms. Schein, if you could identify yourself for the record. Mr. Co-Chairman, could you move the CS before the body?
Madam Chair, I move CS for Senate Bill Number 101, Finance, Version 29-GS1040/E, before the committee as our working document.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. Ms. Schein.
Good afternoon. For the record, this is Aaron Schein, staff to Senator McKinnon and the Senate Finance Committee. The CS before you, version E of Senate Bill 101, incorporates the amendment H.1 that we adopted and conceptually amended yesterday. When we sent the request to our legislative legal to draft the CS that's before you, our drafter raised some concerns on the conceptual language that we had adopted. So with working with the maker of the conceptual amendment staff and myself and the legislative drafter of the version before you is the product of those conversations. If I can direct you to page 3, lines 7 through 12, it is a rewording of the intent of the maker of the conceptual amendment, Senator Michicki, and I believe working with his staff that we are okay with the language that is proposed before you.
Is there any questions on the change in the language based on conforming work done by the Department of Law, or I should say legislative legal? I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection to the CS for Senate Bill 101, Finance /E as in echo? Seeing none, that CS is adopted, and we'll set this bill aside with the goal of moving it out early at 9 o'clock on Monday morning, but just wanted to make sure everybody could read that and make sure that they're comfortable with the changes. The next item before us is Senate Bill 196, an act relating to the amount appropriated for power cost equalization relating to the use of certain unexpended earnings from the power cost equalization endowment fund and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman Kelly, can I have a motion to adopt the CS?
V as in Victor.
Yes.
Madam Chair, I move Senate CS for Senate Bill Number 196, version 20.
Madam Chair, I move CS for Senate Bill Number 196, version 29-LS1383/V as in Victor, before the committee as our working document.
I'll object for purposes of hearing the changes. Ms. Kramer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon. For the record, Laura Kramer, staff to Senator McKinnon and the Senate Finance Committee. I'll just briefly go through the changes between the version F that the committee adopted yesterday and version V that is in front of you today. You'll find the first change on page 1, line 12, following the reference to statute AS 4245080C. The number 1 has been inserted. That's referencing the above section on line 7. We also removed following that may be appropriated. We removed the language for the fiscal year beginning the following July 1, so it just reads C1 may be appropriated for the following purposes. The next change is on page 2 in subsection D, following the statute reference, AS 4245080C. The number 2 is inserted, and that references back to Section 1, Subsection 2. And then on page 11, or excuse me, page 2, line 11, following appropriation under A of this section for the current fiscal year. Previously it said for the previous fiscal year. And then following, continuing on in that sentence, we removed language stating, I'm sorry, the legal didn't make that change, which we left at their discretion. But following the statute reference on line 13, AS 4245080C, the number 2 was inserted. That, again, is going back to Section 1 of the previous page. And then under Subsection 1, line 16, we inserted $30 million. So we can appropriate to the Community Revenue Sharing or Community Assistance Fund 50% or $30 million, whichever is less. And then in the next subsection, to the Renewable Energy Grant Fund, we added Bulk Fuel Revolving Loan Fund and the Rural Power System Upgrades. This percentage changed from 30% to 20%, and then we added $25 million, whichever is less. We also added an effective date to the bill. It would take effect June 30th of this year. And Madam Chair, the other changes, any excess earnings would be returned to or stay in the Power Cost Equalization Endowment Fund. In the prior version F, it specified an amount, 20%. The way it's written now, it's just whatever the excess is. I can answer questions. I know you have a handout from Ledge Finance that kind of gives the breakdown based on percentages what the payout may be under this new version.
Is there objections to adoption of the CS? I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection to adoption of the CS for Senate Bill 196/B? Seeing and hearing none, that's adopted. Mr. Teal, if I could have you join us at the microphone. Mr. Teal, can you go over, or at least at a high level, give us the impact of this change to power cost equalization in the numbers that are included as far as maximums that would be drawn from the fund?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm, for the record, David Teal, Director of Legislative Finance Division. And you're looking, I hope, at the sheet, the spreadsheet that should be in your packet. And that this spreadsheet really just tracks Section D. The whole purpose of this bill is to determine what to do with excess earnings of the PCE endowment. And it's really Section 3D that tells you what to do with those excess earnings. This spreadsheet explains some of what happens there. Under the earnings rate, the highlighted yellow columns, those are simply a repeat of experience from 04 on. It is not intended to be a prediction of interest rates. It's just a good example of some high rates and some negative rates. So that should tell you years in which there are excess earnings and years in which there are insufficient earnings. Because the way this bill works is that Section 3 says that if that 5% payout is insufficient to pay the power cost equalization amounts, and those listed under program costs in your spreadsheet, their estimates growing at 2%. Then power cost equalization will be prorated. But if there is excess earnings, and you'll see that in the column labeled second prior year earnings in excess of program costs, sometimes a negative, sometimes a positive. The next column over shows what's available for allocation. If it's a negative number, meaning your earnings weren't sufficient for even the program costs, then there is no money available for community assistance or rural energy programs. If it's a positive number, the positive number shows in that column. So we then take 50% of the amount available for allocation and put it in community assistance, towards community assistance. So that can vary from 0 to $30 million, the cap on that allocation. The next column over is the allocation to rural energy, and that's 20% of the amount available for allocation. So it can vary from 0 to $25 million. Whatever's left, if any is left, remains in the PCE fund. So it should be fairly obvious that the amount that's usable for other purposes is unpredictable, but can vary from $0 to $55 million per year. Those amounts will come from the Power Cost Equalization Fund, which is a designated fund and can be used to reduce unrestricted general fund appropriations that might otherwise go to these programs.
Are there questions from committee members? Thank you, Mr. Teal. Senator Hoffman, do you have any comments for the committee to consider on the CS?
No, I think the CS is much improved, especially when looking at the scenarios that are available, and I think it makes a lot more sense to proceed forward under this method.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. We'll go over the fiscal note quickly on Monday morning. With that, I'd like you to set aside SB 196 so it can rest, and if we've missed something, someone will catch that. The next bill before the committee is SB 210, Community Revenue Sharing Property Tax Exemption. Ms. Kramer, you could do a walkthrough for us quickly.
Madam Chair, for the record, Laura Kramer, staff to Senator McKinnon. You do have a CS, you don't have a new CS before. You have the version H that the committee adopted several days ago. Just as a refresher to the committee, we did remove the property tax exemption language that was in the bill. So this is strictly community assistance program, changing the name from community revenue sharing to community assistance. And it goes in nicely with the bill that we just did. We now have a funding source to continue the community assistance program, whereas before we did not. So I would expect communities would be happy to hear that we now will be funding it in the out years should we pass this legislation this year. I believe the members have an amendment before them that needs to be considered.
Brief at ease. Chickie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move amendment number one.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. Ms. Kramer.
Madam Chair, the change is can be found on page 6, line 3. Originally, the legal did not catch that there was a change needed to community revenue sharing to community assistance. Former Representative Bill Thomas caught this in the audience the other day. So this is a result of that. It's just updating the name change in statute.
Thank you. I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection to the adoption of amendment number one? Seeing and hearing no objection, amendment number one is adopted. With that, I would like to honor those who've been waiting for some time to be able to testify on Senate Bill 210 as amended. I was trying to get to Katie Costner, who told me she had a time constraint, but it looks like she's dropped off and is unavailable. Just want to make sure, going to the Homer LIO, if Katie Oster is still there.
No, Madam Chair, she had to leave.
Okay, I'll officially open the public hearing on Senate Bill 210 as amended. Next at the Homer LIO, Wayne Adderhold. Wayne, are you there?
I am. I'm Wayne Adderhold, speaking for myself as a senior who does receive the exemption, and I'm growing an audience of people like me who are starting to see the other side of this. I know I'm in a minority right now, but I say tax me like everyone else. Article 1 of the Alaska Constitution gives us a bunch of rights, but it also has duties at the very end, and to me, this is a big part of it. Seniors need to be engaged in the financial solution to today's huge financial problem that the state has. If seniors don't have skin in the game, how are they going to feel attached to this solution? I think any exemption should be needs-based, not age-based. If you look at a Pew Trust report that was came out in 2009, over the 25-year period up to 2009, people over the age of 65 were doing 42% better at the end of that period. People under 35 were doing 68% worse as far as net worth goes, which is what I think any needs exemption should be based on. This is going to sound a little bit drastic, but this, and I voted for this when I was in the state in 1974. I voted for this. I thought it was a great idea, but it's developed into a situation of unintended consequences. And this exemption, pardon the analogy, but it's become like financial heroin, and that's what you're trying to deal with here, taking it away from the seniors. Seniors do a lot of good things, a lot of volunteer work, but we need to be part of the financial solution. Thank you.
Mr. Adderhold, thank you for testifying before Senate Finance. The version in front of us does not include removing the senior property tax exemption, making it from may to shall. So that is not in the bill any longer, but just wanted to make sure that those that are listening knew that before they testified. The next person at the Anchorage LIO is Suzanne Fleek Green. Suzanne, are you there?
Can you hear me in Juneau?
You can now. Welcome to Senate Finance, Suzanne. Please proceed with your testimony.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you, co-chairs McKinnon and Kelly and all the members of the Senate Finance Committee for allowing us this opportunity to testify today on SB 210. My name is Suzanne Fleet Green, and I serve as Chief of Staff to Mayor Berkowitz. The municipality of Anchorage does not support the current version of SB 210. If passed, this bill would result in a $9 million cut to the current amount, last year's amount of community revenue sharing. Knowing of the state's fiscal situation, the municipality did take responsible action when we produced and passed our budget last November and planned for a municipal budget that allowed for a $5 million cut in municipal assistance. Cutting Anchorage by $9 million will have significant consequences. To counteract the effects of this legislation, the municipality will have to add to the additional burden being felt by property owners in the municipality. This bill effectively is shifting an additional $4 million to property taxpayers in Anchorage, Eagle River, Chugiak, Girdwood, and all other parts of the municipality. We know that in times like these, solutions are necessary. We have previously asked the state that if it's not able to honor its commitment to municipal revenue sharing, to allow for alternative means of financial support for the municipality. One thing that we have identified as a possible solution is to transfer parcels of land that are currently owned by the state of Alaska within the boundaries of the municipality to our jurisdiction so that we can develop those lands, put them into productive use, and receive additional revenue from those lands. This would help offset drastic changes in the municipal revenue sharing formula. As always, the municipality is open and hoping to work with the Senate Finance Committee and the legislature and the governor to help put solutions on the table and new ideas that can help get us through these challenging fiscal times without expanding the burden on Anchorage property tax payers or significant cuts to municipal services. Again, thank you for this opportunity to testify, and I look forward to any questions you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Fleet-Green. Are there questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, moving to the Fairbanks LIO, Mr. John Pierce. Mr. Pierce, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to Senate Finance.
Well, thank you, and thank all the other senators on the Finance Committee for allowing public comment on this bill. My main concern was, of course, the top property tax exemption. I'd like to thank you all for removing that wording from this bill. But I want to reassure you that targeting seniors on fixed income, military disabled, and veterans, of which I am all three, even though I did not receive my disability during my service period. I am on a fixed income, so is my wife. And with that, we are just barely able to make do and still stay in Alaska. I have family that's buried here in Fairbanks. I have a daughter who is going to the UAF and is graduating, so forth. I want to stay close to my family. I do not want to move out of this area and be forced to sell my home and so forth. So it's very close. My income tax that I take out of my own Social Security, put in IRS savings account, so to speak, and the permanent fund money is what I pay my property taxes with. And if you mess with any of those, you are doing nothing but taking food off my table. I don't have extra funds anymore. And so please be aware you're going to throw the seniors under the bus, so to speak, if you raise any kind of or take away income sources that we already have established. I'm sure there's a lot of people, I know of two people that parallel my sentiments on this, and please give us all due consideration. The seniors are not going to be the thing to erase the $4 billion deficit on our budget. And I sort of made it down to where we had a one-thousandth of a difference. That's how much, one-thousandth of a difference here in Fairbanks. Hardly enough to say we're going to save the borough on this. So please give it all due consideration, and I thank you very much for your time.
Mr. Pierce, thank you for testifying before Senate Finance today. Is there questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, in the Fairbanks LIO, Rodney Bokessel? Rodney, are you there? And please correct your last name on the record.
Rodney had to leave.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else off net or online wishing to testify on Senate Bill 210, Community Revenue Sharing, Community Assistance? Is there anyone here in Juneau wishing to testify on Senate Bill 210? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed. Brief at ease. Back on the record, we're setting Senate Bill 210 aside. We do plan on moving that bill on Monday morning, so if there are any changes that you need to bring to my attention, please do so as quickly as possible. Senator Hoffman, any closing comments on SB 210?
No closing comments, ma'am.
Anything else to come before the committee? We're not meeting, Senate Finance is not meeting tomorrow on Sunday, so please enjoy your last day off before the end of session approaches. and watched the calendar for the 24-hour post. I've told you at least three bills that will be on that committee, so that, or on that calendar to go forward. With that, we're adjourned.